Well, it certainly is a blessing to have a native son bring the message this morning. Brother Maynard Nisley from Bern, Indiana. He's with the Christian Mission Fellowship. And I suppose there might even be a few who would need the introduction that he is Fred's son. And so it's with joy that we have the opportunity to introduce Maynard. Maynard was a great blessing and a powerful influence in my life as a young person, and we trust the Lord will work through you this morning. Lord bless you.
I greet each of you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here. Feels a little awkward to see so many other ministers here that I'd love to hear. But pray for me. I've appreciated the outreach that I hear, the things that are going on in the church, the outreaches, the different people are going various ways, and I commend you for that. I was also blessed by Brother Berlin's opening this morning. But he said a lot in a short time, didn't he? I've been going through the preaching through the book of Genesis at home, and just finished last Sunday, in fact. And I thought to share a few of the high points of the life of Joseph. Several years ago, I had the privilege of talking with John Mast. For those of you who would know him, he's 99 years old. He was the bishop when I was a little boy in the Amish church. And he said he often preaches to the children, and then everyone can understand. Well, that's probably the way it is this morning, hopefully. I'm a simple person anyway. I think I'll read Genesis chapter 37. Reading from the New King James. Genesis 37. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is a history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream and told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So I sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. The man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They have departed from here, for I have heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hand and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit. Indeed, Joseph was out in the pit, and he tore his clothes, and he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more, and I, where shall I go?" So they took Joseph's tunic, killed the kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors and brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I shall go down to the grave to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Now, a little perspective of history. Their grandfather, Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, when he died, Shem, if my figures are right, Abraham's seven greats grandfather could have been present at that burial. He outlived, according to the figures that I have, he outlived Abraham. Shem, the son of Noah, outlived Abraham by 35 years. And his time would have overlapped with Jacob and Esau. They would have been 15 when their father died, 50 when Shem died. Now, this says Joseph was the son of Jacob's old age. And we know how old Jacob was when Joseph was born. He was 91. We have that by the two, but we have the ages of them when Jacob came to Egypt. And it says that Joseph was born at the end of 14 years of serving Jacob served for his two wives. He worked 7 years for Rachel and got Leah instead, and then he worked another 7 more years for Laban. Now, knowing this, we know that Jacob was 91 years old when Joseph was born, but the son of his old age may change the meaning a bit if we realize they were all the sons of his old age. We assume that Reuben was probably born. Leah had a son soon after they were married. Leah would have been born when Jacob was 84. And so Jacob left home when he was 76 years old. Leah had 4 sons in a row, at least that's all it's given. There could have been a girl or two in between. See, it says that he had one, it only mentions one daughter, Dinah, because we have the story of that. But probably they had more than one girl and 12 boys. So if Simeon was born a year later, then he would have been born when Jacob was 85. And if Levi was born the next year, he would have been 86. And if Judah was born the next year, he would have been 87. Now, we know when Joseph was born, he was born at the end of the 14th year. It says that, the end of when he was, had finished his payment for his dowry for his wives. So he would have been born when, so he was obviously born when Jacob was 91. So Judah wasn't that much older, 4 years at the most, and possibly less. So probably some of the other children were younger than Joseph, several of them. Of course, with four wives, four different mothers, some of them would have been, could have been the same age. Now, of course, Jacob hadn't planned to have that kind of home. He had planned on having one wife, I believe, and things didn't happen the way he had planned. Now, we could say certainly it wasn't an ideal family. We'd probably call it a dysfunctional home today, wouldn't we? And Joseph, was Joseph a tattletale? He told on his brothers, the evil report. I told the children back home that the way it should be done, Joseph told his father, I don't know if he talked to his brothers, but I told the children there that they should, if they see their brother or their friend or their sister doing something that, that they shouldn't do, they should first talk to them. They should say, you shouldn't do that. Or they should say, I'm telling Dad if you do. If that doesn't help, the other, it's important to let parents know what's happening. He was the son of his old age. Now, in the, it's a Hebrew phrase that made sense when I read this. Son of old age to him. That's the Hebrew phrase. Meaning, it's a Hebrew phrase for a wise son who possessed observation and wisdom above his years. And after, because of looking at the ages, calculating the ages, that made sense. Sometimes some of those things you read, you wonder if they had a basis for it. But one of those things was in one of my commentaries said that Joseph was only a year, Benjamin, his brother, was only a year old when he left. Well, Joseph was gone about 20 years, and Benjamin had, when he went to Egypt, after 20 years, had a list of 10 sons, doesn't say how many daughters, so probably he was more than a year old when Joseph left. Some of my quotes I'll be mentioning as commentary, and some of them I've had in my notes, so I don't necessarily mention that, but that's part of my comments. Israel showed criminal indiscretion in giving Joseph a coat, a special coat. That helped the hatred of his brothers. They could not speak peacefully to him. And then his dreams. Commentary said he was more of a prophet than a politician. Ken Taylor says that he boasted. We don't know if that was the way it was, but it would be possible, likely. Had his dream of the sheaves. It was obvious meaning, wasn't it? The sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bowing down to him. His father rebuked him. I've wondered about that. He said, your mother and I bow down to you? I think his mother had already died. I would expect she had. Maybe he's talking about his stepmother, his Aunt Leah. If it looks to me like that was being the son of old age to him, him being a responsible person, and he appears to have been a very responsible person. So Jacob was sending him out to kind of oversee, to check how his brothers are doing, how the flocks are doing. Sent them away about 50 miles to Shechem, and then he had to go another 10 miles approximately to Dothan. And of course they saw him in his coat that stood out to them. And hatred led to thoughts of murder, like it often does if hatred goes on. Now, Reuben spoke up and he said, let's not kill him. He was the oldest. He felt responsible. But he should have spoken out more than he did. He should have taken his responsibility more seriously. He said, "We're not." He should have said, "We're not doing it. We're return." Well, he went part ways. And there, as they were, they threw him in a pit. Of course, took that offending coat off. As they looked in the distance, and there were the Ishmaelites. It talks about Ishmaelites and says and calls them Midianites interchangeably. Probably from both. Now, Ishmael and Midian were both their grandfather Isaac's half-brothers. So the descendants of their grandfather's half-brothers. They were coming from Gilead, taking spices. And myrrh. Things down to Egypt. Going to demand there suggested that probably they were in demand for burial, for the Egyptian burials. So Judah spoke up. Well, what profit is if we kill our brother? Let's sell him. And they all agreed to that. And they talked later in Genesis 42. It says that Joseph pleaded with them. When they were in prison, they said these words, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Quite a dramatic experience. Can we place ourselves in Joseph's situation? What a terrible experience. His brothers selling him. Probably he cried. There they bound him. He was probably tied to the equipment they had there. And there they went. It seemed hopeless. Joseph was a slave, probably for life. God's training for Joseph. Now I say Joseph was really free. His brothers were in bondage. They were the ones who were in bondage. Now, God saw the injustice of all this, as he always does, and God compensated for it. These brothers carried guilt for nearly 40 years after this. The separation of his father on earth, though separated from his father on earth, he lived in communion with his Father in heaven. Though changed in condition, he was not changed in spirit. Though stripped of his gaudy coat that adorned his person, he had not lost the moral graces that distinguished his character. Quote from the commentary. Though in the house of an idolater, he continued to be a worshiper of the true God. Did he regret that he had told the dreams? We don't know. Was he in despair? Was he depressed for a while? We don't know that he was. Now his brothers killed a kid, a young goat, to deceive their father. Just like their father had killed two young goats to deceive his father, sowing and reaping. Israel tore his clothes, was in sackcloth, mourned many days for his sons, for his son. Whether awake or asleep, he sees Joseph torn limb by limb. And all his sons and all his daughters, did you notice that? Daughters, all his daughters, we had more daughters than one, rose to comfort him. But Joseph, being a slave now, served as Ephesians says, Paul wrote in Ephesians, when he wrote to slaves, serve as to the Lord. He did that. He was faithful. He had been faithful and respectful and responsible to his father, and he was able to change that, to convey that to his master as well. And the account says that the Lord was with Joseph and he was successful. He was a successful slave. And the Lord blessed, the Lord was compensating, the Lord blessed his master. Everything that his master had, everything that he managed, the Lord blessed it. Now, he was very good looking, came from a very good looking family. Sarah had been very good, exceedingly good looking. So was Rebecca, so was his mother, Rachel. Now, being good looking was a disadvantage. Maybe more of a disadvantage than an advantage. We can't help how we look. We can help our countenance. Being exceptionally good looking has its own set of disadvantages. And this was true of him, Potiphar's wife. Cast her eyes on him, King James says. Now, he had probably had the benefit of seeing what some of the sowing and reaping that happened in his own family. He probably remembered his oldest brother Reuben's fall, moral fall, and how sad his father felt when he saw that. He had that advantage. He was probably there when his half-sister Dinah was misused, and how upset and grieved and angry her brothers were, how upset the whole family was, I believe. He had that advantage of seeing some of the results of immoral living. And Joseph, when he was tempted, did not want to betray his master's confidence or his faith in God. He fled and got him out. I say, yea, Joseph. Matthew Henry said his escape was as great an instance of divine power as the deliverance from the fiery furnace. Better to lose a coat than a good conscience. And may I just say, may we, as Joseph, flee temptations, flee evil. We have stood against, we say we don't have television, we don't listen to the radio, we don't go to the movies, but all those things we can have right on our little cell phone, can't we? Or in our house, have those on the computer. We need to stand as Joseph did. We need to be decided. We need to, like Daniel, purpose not to defile ourselves. And unless we do, I'm afraid we're going to go down the drain like so many have. May God help us. Joseph was slandered, imprisoned, and it probably hurt that his master trusted him. He probably felt hurt that his master didn't trust him. His master thought, probably believed his wife. And Psalm says they hurt his feet with fetters. But he made the best of it. He made the best of whatever situation he was in. He was in prison, by the way, under Potiphar's house, probably. He was in a dungeon. And when the two of the king's prisoners came, it says they were in the house of Potiphar. So he stayed right there within the same place. Potiphar's house. And the Bible again says that Joseph was a prosperous man in prison, a prosperous prisoner. It's possibly a prosperous prisoner. Now, we don't know how long he was in prison. He was there probably at least 3 years. We knew he was there over 2 years, but probably longer. There were 13 years. The story of Joseph starts here, where I'm reading in 37, starts when he was 17. And he was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh. That was 13 years. So we don't know how the 13 years was divided. Probably a few years at home yet. More years as a manager in Potiphar's house. And some years in prison. And then, of course, one day he came in. He saw the two prisoners, the king's prisoners, the chief butler and the chief baker. Chief butler, the commentary says he was probably over hundreds of men. From providing the wine for the king and including his vineyards. And he looked, came in there and saw them sad. He said, "Why are you so sad?" He wasn't sad. Could have been. He wasn't sad. He was taking things as they come. And, of course, he interpreted their dreams. He interpreted the chief butler's dream. And it was a positive dream. He would be restored to his office in 3 days. And I said, "Remember me. Please remember me when you go back to Pharaoh. You talk to Pharaoh about me." And he did, but not for a while. And, of course, the chief baker had his interpretation wasn't so good. Joseph could have said, "I had dreams too, with clear meaning, but it didn't happen." Now turn with me to chapter 41. Chapter 41, beginning to read at verse 25. This is after Pharaoh's dream and had found no interpreter for him. And the butler said, "I remember my faults this day." He told him about Joseph. So Joseph was quickly brought in. They changed his clothes and shaved. I was interested in shower. He kept himself clean, probably even in prison. 41:25. "Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, 'The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the 7 thin and ugly cows, which came up after them, are 7 years, and the 7 empty heads, blighted by the east wind, are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come up throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe." And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing was established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then the food shall be a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine." So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house and all my people. You shall be ruled according to your word. All my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the 2nd chariot, which he had, and cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout the land of Egypt. Thinking just briefly about God's timing, you know, Joseph was hoping that he could be out of prison after the day or several days or maybe a week after the butler got out. He probably anticipated waiting you know, maybe today. Several weeks went by and several months, and finally several years went by. That God's timing was right. The butler, the chief butler, forgot Joseph. Did God make him forget? I think he did. Sometimes other people forget us. Sometimes we forget other things. Sometimes it's just our fault because we're getting older, forget. But God wanted him to forget. And I think that same thing happens today. So Joseph came, was suddenly called. That morning he had got up like he had the last number, how many years it was in prison, expecting to have the same kind of life that he had before. But by evening his life was, circumstances were totally changed. He was taken there and interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. And besides giving what he asked for, interpreting it, he also gave him counsel. God gave him those words. And the counsel seemed so good to Pharaoh. It's interesting how Pharaoh and all his servants said, this is the man for the job. Man had just come out of prison. Pharaoh said, can we find such a man as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh, the one who was regarded as a god in Egypt, the one from the land who had many gods, numerous gods, and here he said, this man, can we find such a man as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? How did he know Joseph had the Spirit of God? What a change Joseph had. What promotion. He was given a wife, Asenath, the daughter of a priest of On. I think that word could also be prince, if I remember from my study earlier. On was a city in Egypt. But whatever she was, whatever her father was, I believe she was became a worshiper of the true God. Like Ruth, your God shall be my God. And like Joshua, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Different from what Solomon had done. Solomon also had an Egyptian wife. By the way, the Bible never forbade the Israelites to have Egyptian wives. But he expected their wives serve the same God they did. There were other countries that were not to intermarry the Israelites later on. Now, that drought they had experienced. I remember a little bit of the drought here in Kansas in the years 54, 55, and 56. Those were hard times. I was young enough to not understand all the implications of that. But you who were farming then knew what it was like. Elijah's time, there was no dew or rain for 3.5 years. This time in Egypt, there was a famine for 7 years, twice as long. Joseph probably expected that his brothers would show up eventually. Now, his brothers probably had 10 to 15 days travel to get there. They came there on donkeys. Had they sold their camels? Had lots of camels earlier? I don't know. Now, they had no idea that this man they were bowing before, that they bowed before and feared, and who accused them of being spies, was their own brother. Little did they imagine anything like that. So he tested them. He accused them of being spies, and they said, we're 12 brethren, one is not. Well, there he was. Well, the youngest is at home. He put him in prison for 3 days. Maybe he wanted him to just feel a little what prison is like. And he warned them that they dare not come back unless their youngest brother is with them. So they came home to their father and talked about the man. Oh, how they feared the man. And Israel, or Jacob, their father, said, I can't send Benjamin, no way. His brother's gone out, has been lost, and if he dies, then I'll die. Well, Judah finally told him after they waited long enough that they just had to have more food. Judah said, I'll be responsible. I'll bear the blame forever. And finally, Jacob consented. If it must be, and he sent a present, a special things they had there. And he said, God Almighty give you mercy before the man. And so when Joseph saw that they were there, he said, told his servant, bring these men to my house. They'll eat there. And he had them sit in order of ages. And they were amazed. And he sent helpings to each one. And he sent five times as big a helpings to his brother Benjamin. Did they notice it? Obviously that caught everybody's attention. And they were happy. Oh, they passed that test in flying colors. Well, anyway, they loaded their donkeys and joyfully left. Things had turned out well for them when he sent after them. He had told his servant to put his silver cup in the sack of the youngest ones. And so when he came accusing them of stealing the silver cup, well, they said, we wouldn't do it. We brought the extra money back that was given to us. We wouldn't do such a thing. If the one in whose sack the cup is found, let him die. And the rest will be your slaves. They were pretty sure, weren't they? A little like their father had been that he hadn't stolen any of Laban's idols. Didn't know that his favorite wife had taken them. But in this case, they hadn't. Benjamin knew that he wasn't guilty, but nobody else could prove anything, could they? They couldn't prove anything. And so they came back to Joseph and again fell down before him. Joseph was thinking about his dreams, I suppose. And Judah said those beautiful words. He said, "Our father had, one of his wives had two sons. The one went out and he's gone. The one is no more. And the other one, this is the youngest one. That's the only one he has. If he doesn't return, then my father will die. I became surety for him. Let me please stay in his place." What a beautiful speech. What a changed Judah. What a changed man from saying, let's sell him, to saying, I'll take his place. Judah became a type of the Lord Jesus, one of his descendants who took our place. He said, my father is old. He was 130 years old, by the way, and talked about his youngest, about how his father would be affected. And so Joseph could restrain himself no longer. He cried. He said something. This high ruler in Egypt that spoke to them through an interpreter suddenly said something in Egyptian, and all his aides left the room. And then he said, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brothers were troubled, it says. Some translations say they were terrified at his presence. This man they had so feared began talking their language. Yeah, probably as they looked at him, yeah, it did look like Joseph. They had never thought of that. After he cried, embraced each one and cried with them, he sent them home. Pharaoh heard about it, his servants, and they sent plenty of supplies, sent wagons or carts along to bring his father back. When they told their father, Joseph is yet alive, he couldn't believe it. He had been believing a lie for 20 years. To change that seemed like a lie. But when he saw the wagons, he believed. He said, "If Joseph, my son, is yet alive, I will go see him before I die." Jacob came to Egypt. They had a wonderful reunion. And Jacob lived another 17 years in Egypt. After they buried their father, they had a huge procession of people. I can't fathom how many went back. They were probably gone a month at least, going back, burying their burying Jacob. They came back, and his brothers said, came back and fell down before him, sent messengers first, fell down before them and said, your father commanded before he died that you forgive us. I don't know if that's true or not, if they made that up. I question that. I wonder if they had even really confessed to their father. But they hadn't cleared it up with him. Joseph had obviously forgiven them. But those 17 years they were there, evidently they had never asked him to forgive them. It's very important to clear ourselves. They needed to clear themselves for their good. As I thought in my past life, 40-some years ago, I see Brother David and Brother Amos back here. I appreciate how they so thoroughly helped me clear my life in moral issues back 40-some years ago. They've given me a good example to follow in helping others. We need to be cleared. It's not hard. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Father, we pray your blessing on each one here today. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping together with people here, with family, with relatives, with friends from long ago, many that have come along since then. We pray your blessing on this congregation, your direction for them. Thank you for the help I have received over the years. I pray your blessing on my father, who left a good example for me, and pray that you would direct all of our lives, help us to follow you with our whole hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Maynard. You know, today's Sunday school lesson, we had the verse, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And it's interesting to think about the sowing and reaping that happens in this story of Joseph. The years that the brothers carried the guilty conscience, the way in which God brought about the right kind of reaping for Joseph. And so it's just been a real blessing to hear and think about this story again. And when Joseph had explained the dream, the question came, can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is? I believe that's a question for us today. Does God find in us will people find in us that Spirit? And then the great lesson of forgiveness. What a blessing. Well, I want to give some time for public expression here. We're certainly blessed with a number of guests here, and I'd like to start off with asking Brother Phil, here to my right, if you'd bring the mic forward for a word from the Lord for us here. Brother Phil Yoder, to the far right here, yes.
It's good to be here with you this morning. Appreciated the service. It's been a real blessing to me, especially the message. The life of Joseph is always an encouragement to me, and especially the spiritual principles that we see in Joseph's life are still valid today. Mm-hmm. Just a blessing to share this time with you. God bless you.
Clayton.
It's been a real blessing to be here to hear my brother Maynard speak. He's been a very much an encouragement to me in my younger years too, and through the years. And rejoice in the message today about Joseph. It's a very favorite story of mine. See many things that Joseph was a type of Christ. Think of Joseph, how he sought his brothers. "I seek my brethren," he said. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And I believe that's the same call that he gives to us, to be here for our brethren. And that's a very moving account of how he was restored to his brethren when Judas showed a full surrender. That's what God says, that he dwells in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. That's where Judas came to. So I'll just say amen to the message, and may the Lord bless.
Well, certainly, thank you for these expressions. May the Lord be honored as we continue to evaluate and consider the life of Joseph. Shall we have a song at this time?